Welcome to the Messy Walk Podcast with Pastor Adam Cook, where our goal is to have a genuine and authentic conversation about the Christian faith journey and what a messy walk with Jesus really looks like. Make sure to follow us for future episodes that will be posted regularly each Wednesday. We hope you enjoy this episode.
Hey, welcome to the Messy Walk Podcast. I'm your host, Steph, here with Pastor Adam.
Hey, hey.
Hey, hey. We're back for another episode of our series, Pastor, Please.
Please. P-L-E-A-S.
Yes.
Right. In other words, all the things that your pastor, in this case me, would beg and plead for you not to do mainly. And there's some things in here we'd plead for you to do. Like the one we're going to do today, I think, is worded that way. Yeah. This one's one we beg you to do.
Mm-hmm.
We might word it in some ways, though, that are not to do. But it's just those things that we just really want you to do. So this is number five. Five in the series.
Episode 181.
Episode 181. We're coming up on 200 episodes, Steph. Not that far away.
Wow.
Not that far away. You remember on our 100th episode, I think it was our 100th. It's the one that we did the outtake, the blooper reel. I think that was at episode 100, wasn't it?
Seriously?
I'm pretty sure. Or maybe it wasn't. Maybe it was the one at the first of the year or something. But I think it was. Anyway, we got some good content for the blooper reels now. Because there's all kinds of random stuff we just said and talked about. I just had one a minute ago before this episode started. So anyway, we're in number five of the series, Pastor Please. And so once again, we're coming at this from a place that the pastor or spiritual leader in your life, spiritual mentor, spiritual mother and father, whatever you want to call it, really cares about you. Now, there are people who abuse those platforms. And so this is not those pastor pleas that would manipulate you. That's not the goal. Most of the people that would be in these roles actually love and care about you. And what they want you to do is not walk into these common pitfalls that we see so frequently. That's kind of how this series was born, was me repeatedly talking to Steph prior to a podcast, just us chatting, and me saying to you, like, oh my God, these people drive me crazy, or I wish they wouldn't do this, or I wish they wouldn't do that. You know what I mean? And it's just, because it's repetitive. Like, there are these common things that people will walk into, and somebody from experience, like, not know-it-all, I don't mean I know-it-all, right, because I've walked through some of these things too, but just have watched people fall in certain ways or really struggle, right? Really go through the ringer, and they don't have to. And you're like, do not do that. This is not going to end well. And that's where these are coming from. Because we just care for you and don't want you to walk into something that you could actually avoid. And they're all pretty simple. I don't know the exact order that we've done these in, but we talked about getting counseling earlier than you think. We did an episode on not church hopping. We did one on quit being fearful of doubts. We've done one on don't get married without premarital counseling and the importance of counseling. And so, you know, none of these are like super difficult, but they're just really easy things for people to walk into. So today is the fifth one and episode 181. And this one is what, Steph? Simply what?
Read the Bible.
Read your Bible. Every pastor I know would beg you, please, for the love of God, please read your Bible yourself, right? Read the Bible yourself. Watch what you consider to be Bible reading. There's a lot of ways in which we will justify certain things, like we're doing it when we're really not. You know what I mean? Like, all right, so here's an example. I don't know if it's ever happened to you and Jonathan. Y'all have only been married like a year, so you might still love each other. But if you've been married for a while, you will lie to yourself about things. Like, for example, you'll go out to eat together and or do something and look at the phone the entire time and lie to yourself and call that quality time. You know what I mean? Like, and it's really easy to do that with the Bible reading.
Mm-hmm.
It's really easy to sort of justify to yourself that you're reading the Bible. So you end up you end up tuning into a Christian radio station or something or a podcast or something, right? And you hear a couple of verses of the K-Love gives you the verse of the day, right? And so you think on that a little bit. Or me and Steph throw out some verses to you on the podcast or whatever it is you're listening to. Or you're listening to music and it just happens to be someone who clearly is referencing a verse in a song. And if you're not watching, you will justify that as, I read my Bible, when you really didn't. And I please don't do that, right? You got to be in the Word, and you got to be in the Word on your own. You do not want the only Bible that you read to be the one that is read to you in church, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or somewhere else. You do not want that. You need to be in the Word on your own. I mean, please don't let the only Bible that you read be the one that I read to you in church when we're doing a message, or your pastor reads to you, or whatever it is. Or like, that doesn't need to be the only Bible you read. And that's how people get in trouble. Like, that's how people get manipulated, mm-hmm. right? I mean, there's been lots and lots of pastors, and I'm not saying I'm going to do that to you, but there's lots and lots of pastors who have used the Word of God to manipulate people. I mean, it's an easy way to manipulate people, right? To get you to believe something that is not really there,
yeah.
because you don't know, because you don't read it on your own. So you just blindly trust this person, right? And I'm not saying don't trust your pastors. I'm saying don't blindly trust them.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what I want you to do when I'm teaching or preaching, if you're sitting under my teaching or preaching, I want you to read it on your own. I want you to see what I'm seeing in there for yourself and not just blindly take what I say. Because I can be wrong. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I can make some sort of error in expounding upon my particular scripture. In exegeting a particular scripture, I could be wrong. And you're not going to know that unless you read it for yourself, right? And there's lots of denominations and churches and groups and things like that, and people in general, who will tell you that the Bible says this, and it's completely out of context, and it's not really what it means or says. And that's open for their interpretation, but you need your own interpretation, so you don't just blindly trust what somebody said. That's how people—if you ever watched a—I've been fascinated with this stuff. I think it's because I'm just all things church. You know, this has been my whole life for a very long time. You know, I've been a full-time pastor since I was 20 years old, except for the 1 year before we started Union when I decided to quit. But other than that, this has been, you know, everything in my adult life. And I'm fascinated with all things church, right? Fascinated with it. I can't stop thinking about it. So mm-hmm. if we go to the IKEA, you ever been to an IKEA?
Yes. Steph?
I love some IKEA. Mm-hmm. I hate to shop, but I love IKEA. I can't walk through IKEA without thinking about church. Like, I'm walking through there, and I'm going, oh, that looks good in the kids' ministry. Oh, that'd be good over here. Like, mm-hmm. you know, oh, look how they did this. This is good. We need to steal this idea. Like, I can't walk through those places without thinking about church. And so I'm completely consumed with it. So I find myself constantly paying attention to documentaries on church scandals, stuff from old stuff, new stuff, right? Like, there was a documentary not long ago on Hillsong. There's all kinds of stuff. One of the best podcasts I've ever listened to, but the way it was done and the content it's a podcast called The Rise and Fall of Mars Hill.
Mm-hmm.
And it's about Pastor Mark Driscoll and all the things that went down with Mars Hill Church in the Seattle, Washington area. Fascinating podcast. But like, you know, you've seen these churches or these things where people have committed mass suicide because the leader has led them to believe certain things about the world, certain things about the Word, whatever. And like, all of a sudden, like the Jonestown thing, I don't know if anybody's ever heard of this or not, but this was a long time ago. The Jonestown thing, this pastor basically creates a cult and ends up taking them all into Guyana, I think, the country of Guyana, and if I'm saying that name right, and building this compound and getting away from the rest of the world. And then these people start to get involved to try to figure out what's going on, and some congressmen come in and all this stuff, and all of a sudden these people get shot. And anyway, it leads to them all committing basically mass suicide at the end, led by this leader. So you've ever listened to those things and wondered, how in the world could somebody be brainwashed in such a way that they would end up doing this to themselves, their children, or whatever? Well, it's because they didn't read the Bible on their own, too. I mean, that's a big piece of it. You know what I mean? Like, that's just blindly taking and trusting some leader, and you do not want to do that. Like, that's not a good thing, right? It can lead you into some pretty bad stuff.
Right.
And well-meaning people, too. That example is extreme. But well-meaning pastors and people can lead you into a belief or something that seems to be true that is not, and they can back it up, but you can't. So you just kind of blindly end up taking it and trusting it. I'll give you a couple examples. The church I grew up in, now, this is an independent Baptist church in the middle of Blanche/Milton/nowhere, North Carolina, right? And I got saved there. I got baptized there. My pastor, we called him a preacher, told me my whole life, every time I saw him, that I was going to be a pastor. And I thought he was crazy, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I thought he was insane. One time, me and Dad were driving down the road, and we drive by the church, and the pastor is in his own yard across at the house across the street from the church, and he is mowing his grass with a push mower in a full three-piece suit. Mowing his grass. And I was like, Daddy, what is he doing? Why is he mowing his grass in a suit? And Daddy goes, that's just what preachers do. And I said, well, I ain't never going to be a preacher then. I don't be mowing grass in a three-piece suit. You know what I mean? Anyway, I grew up there. And for the most part, I got some pretty solid biblical foundation, right, for the most part. There's a few things, though, that now as an adult, and especially as a theologically educated person, and as a pastor who studies the Word, you know, I realized a couple of those things were really false, right? Really false. And they were damaging teaching. Like, here's an example. One of them was that it is completely against the Bible and the Word of God for people of two races to intermarry. And that is insane to say if you know your own Bible, right?
Yeah.
That is blatant racism that is bought and picked up from generation to generation from some scriptures that are taken completely out of context, and it is not what they mean whatsoever, right? Like, matter of fact, we're going to talk about one of those scriptures that's used for this in an episode coming up. And then the other one was that the there's a couple of different ways to go on this. Like, there's different theology, right? And people believe certain different things. And there, so one of them was that this particular pastor led us to or taught us was what we call cessationism, which is the belief that the works of the Spirit, specifically in the spiritual gifts that involve miracles, we call those the miraculous gifts, right? Even though all of them are miraculous gifts because they're gifts of the Spirit. But, you know, stuff like healing, tongues, things like that, prophecy, that those gifts all ceased with the death of the apostles. And so, therefore, that stuff doesn't happen anymore. And we literally mean, like, God doesn't use people, his gifting in people in ways of healing or tongues or prophecy or whatever, right? And there's lots of people, by the way, who believe this. And it was one of those things where I just couldn't understand it. So in the church, in that church, particular church, there were two things that if you did, you were going to get kicked out. One was be in any sort of interracial relationship, and the other one was talk about anything having to do with the Holy Spirit, right? Other than just a general reference to the Holy Spirit, if you got into any kind of spiritual gifting stuff, all of a sudden it was weird. And I struggled with that, right? I struggled with that. And then I started reading the Bible on my own and studying the Bible on my own in depth and looking at different teachers and, you know, education, all that. And I realized that those were two false, heretical teachings that I should not have paid any attention to. But I did. And so what I'm saying is that it may not be like something drastic like Jonestown, but you're never going to know this if you don't read your own Bible.
Right.
You know? And it, by the way, people get intimidated by the scripture. They think they can't read it that way, understand it that way. I don't think so. I really don't think so. Mm-mm. I think that it is way, that is an excuse that people use who don't read the Bible.
Yeah.
Right? And the reason is that I don't read it because I'm not going to understand it. No, you're proving to me that you don't read it, and you just think that you're not going to understand it, and that's why you don't read it. It is very easy to understand for the most part. There are some things that you have to look up and figure out historical context with, and what does this mean?
Yeah, study.
You know, a word study of what is this word? I don't understand this word. It's just like you do when you read a novel, right? I mean, I don't know if you remember this or not. When you were a kid and you were reading, what your teacher would tell you to do is when you hit a word you did not understand, look it up, right?
Yeah.
That's why reading is so powerful, in our knowledge base. If you take children who are reading books early on as kids, they're going to be much more equipped for school, learning, education. Their intelligence levels are naturally higher when surveyed because they are reading, because they are learning, understanding, picking up all kinds of context, and then learning new words, phrases, understanding those things all the time. It's the same thing with reading your scripture. You know, you got to pause sometimes to figure it out and understand what the heck does this mean. You got to cross-reference sometimes back, but your Bible is set up for you to understand it that way, and the tools that are at your disposal are plentiful. Mm-hmm. They're everywhere, right? They're, I mean, now you can literally go, I don't know what this phrase means, and you can type it into Google. Now, once again, you need to pay attention to who you read on Google so that you understand what you're reading, and it's not just yet another way that you are taking what somebody else says for what the Word says instead of you reading it for yourself. But you have got to get in it. And there are so many tools available for you to figure it out. I utilize Bible Gateway all the time. All it is an online Bible. And Bible Gateway has, for free, tons of commentaries, word search things that are there and available to you right there for free. There's ones you got to pay for, but there's also free ones. There are some world-famous commentaries that are now public domain. And you can access them anywhere, anytime, any place. You don't have to buy them, right? I mean, there's all kinds of ways to do this. Not to mention that you have other people in the family of God that you can read the Word with and study the Word with, right? Your spouse, your small group, your whoever, your friend, whatever it is, right? You've got all kinds of people you can walk through this thing with. And so the resources for you to study and at your disposal are plentiful. There's really no excuse, right? Mm-hmm. And plus, for the people that are probably listening to this podcast, your accessibility to the Bible is phenomenal. The Bible's everywhere.
Yeah.
Right? And for the people listening to this, I mean, there may be some people in another country who, I don't know how you'd be able to understand me and Steph if you live somewhere else because we speak country. But we don't really speak English. We speak country English. But I mean, people listening to the podcast, the Bible is accessible to you in your language everywhere. Everywhere.
I'm grateful for that.
It's all over the place. And it's an amazing blessing to be able to have. And people have died and worked hard for you to be able to have accessibility of the scriptures.
Amazing.
And there's always been this sort of way in which people will abuse their power to try to keep others from knowing what the Word says themselves, because that lets them lord that power over them. That's what the Great Reformation was all about. So on Halloween Day, well, a couple weeks ago, was the 507th anniversary of the Great Reformation. The Great Reformation is kind of kicks off where Martin Luther, who's known as the father of the Reformation, there's lots of other people involved, but he's the father of it, nails the 95 Theses to the Wittenberg door. It's known as the knock heard around the world, where he calls out all this corruption in the church. And one of the big pieces of corruption that he's calling out, which then leads, by the way, to the forming of the Protestant church, which is basically all the denominations you would think of that are not Catholic, that's the Protestant church. And it forms out of the fact that he's calling out all this corruption. One of the main things of corruption was that the priest and the people were keeping the word to themselves so that they could then abuse the people with it and say, God's word says this, God's word says this, God's word says this. And the people had no choice. They didn't know. They're like, okay, I guess I got to trust that, you know? And it caused all this crazy corruption and taxes and all the stuff that people were being forced to do. And when Luther called those things out, it was saying, no, the Bible is for everybody. And every regular everyday old people should have access to the word. And his thing was, is that the word priest should be used as frequently as the word Christian. In other words, he coins the term, we attribute the term priesthood of all believers to Martin Luther. In other words, everybody's not just a Christian. If you're a Christ follower, you're also a priest. You are a minister of the gospel, right? And you have access to the word, and you have more power than you think you do. And the Holy Spirit works in a profound way to help you understand and see and get what the scripture is. You just got to open it and read it. You got to be in it. You know, like my plea to you is please read the Bible. please do not let the only Bible you have read, the only Bible you read, be one that's read to you. You have got to be in the Word of God. The Word of God, there is something about the Word of God. I don't know how to explain this idea, this concept. The Word talks about it being alive, sharper than a double-edged sword, cutting too deep into the person, cutting into the marrow. In other words, the picture is cutting deep into your soul. The way you'd kind of say that is that when you read the Bible, it's different than any other book, right? Because it's not really a book. When you read the Bible, the Bible is reading you at the same time, right? And it just has this way of being alive and moving in your life, in your heart, in the world, in a way that nothing else has. We believe it's the living Word of God. And if you struggle with, and we've talked about this in the podcast before, we've actually talked about doing an episode, a series on how to read your Bible. I think we're going to do that soon, but I think it was your idea, Steph. But if you struggle with those things, if you struggle with, I don't know what to do with this, this feels like it might be contradictory, how do I understand the fact that the Bible was written by, inspired by God, but written by men, so doesn't that give some ways in which somebody could be corrupt with it and that kind of stuff? I don't know if I believe everything about it. Well, first off, you don't read nothing in your life that you believe every single word of, right? So that shouldn't keep you from reading the Bible. But secondly, the go-to that I have is that Jesus trusted and read the Bible, quotes it consistently, believes all the pieces of it, even always references all the way back to Genesis and the creation of the world and the creation of man and woman and all these things. And so if Jesus, who I believe you can historically prove, not just that he was a person and a leader, but I think you can historically prove his death and resurrection, like historically, scientifically, outside of the scripture, I think you can prove it. And so I'm going to do the guy that got out of the grave, who said he was going to get out of the grave and get out of the grave. I'm going to believe whatever he says.
Mm-hmm.
And so if he is believing in reference in the scripture, then I'm going to too. And I'm going to trust the fact that the things I don't completely understand or the ways in which I feel like it might not be true, I'm going to work through those while reading the Bible, not use those as excuses not to read the Bible. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That makes sense. But it's alive. It's the Word of God. And it just does something different when you read it. And by the way, it is amazing because it has this way of you can read one verse, one section, one chapter at one phase of your life when one thing's going on and it speaks to you in a certain way.
Yeah.
You can turn around and go into a different phase of life, different thing going on, read the same thing and something completely different speaks to you deeply in a profound way. It's absolutely amazing. Right?
Yeah, it's so cool.
It's amazing. I just had this happen with me recently, where like I have read through Acts chapter 1 a gazillion times, and there's one little piece in there. We just talked about this last Sunday, so it's on my mind. I'm not going to get into it right now, but there's one little piece in there about them choosing the 12th disciple that replaced Judas, Matthias. I have never paid attention to it until not that long ago when I happened to be reading through one section I've read a million times, and I noticed this, and it begins to speak to me in a profoundly different way. From the same piece of scripture I've read before. There's nothing else like that.
Mm-hmm.
And so you're not going to experience those things unless you're in the Word of God. You're not going to be prepared for the things life's going to throw at you like you would be if you're in the Word of God. There is a piece of faith building that happens every time you open the Word of God and get into it. There's a faith that is continuing to build and build and build. Even if you have doubts and questions, we talked about that in the series, there's a faith that's building there. That's not going to happen with you being out in the Word. And it's also not going to happen when it's just somebody else reading you the Word, right? That it's not going to build your faith that way. You're not going to internalize it the same way. It's a whole different ballgame when, you know, it's like learning. Everybody's a different kind of learner. Like there's visual learners and there's auditory learners and all those kind of things. Well, you should listen to preaching. You should hear somebody teaching and preaching you for sure. But at the same time, you should also be reading yourself. And there's a way in which you internalize and keep it to yourself more when you read it on your own, right? Like, I don't know if you've had to do some sort of memorization thing for school or whatever,
mm-hmm.
study guides. You know, when you do like the flip cards and you memorize it.
Yeah.
But then if you find yourself writing it, if you write it out, you remember more from that than you do of anything else. Matter of fact, you can read about this. When it talks about like flip cards, you know what I'm talking about? Is that what it's called?
Flashcards.
Flashcards. Yeah. There we go. I don't know what flip cards. Flashcards. About knocking my mic off. There is. You can read about this that people think that the flashcard, the repetitiveness of the flashcard, is what makes you memorize it. What actually makes you memorize it the most is writing it down on the card to begin with, right? Just the fact of you actually writing it. This is the same thing with being in the Word. If you are reading it on your own, you are going to internalize and retain that, and it impacts you in a way that's way different than somebody reading it to you. You know, so, I mean, there's so many things on this list that we could highlight of me begging you as a pastor, pleading with you to do or not to do. But I don't know if any of them is any more important than this one, right? You might be able to discern all the rest of these out of this one. Right? Like if you found yourself, I'm going to read the Word. I'm going to be in the Word. I'm going to live out what I'm reading. I'm going to digest this thing. I'm going to consume it. I'm going to eat it. Mm-hmm. Right? If you were doing that, you could probably then discern all the rest of these pastor pleas yourself and avoid many, many pitfalls just by being in the Word yourself. You know, it's crucial. And how you're in the Word, it changes. Like, Steph, I don't know if this fits you, but I bet it does because it fits everybody. There's certain seasons where morning times work well to be in the Word, and there's certain seasons where they don't.
Yeah.
There's certain seasons where evenings work real well, and then something changes with the schedule or whatever, and then evenings don't work. Sometimes you're on certain jobs where your lunchtime Bible reading time works out real good. Mm-hmm. Then you take certain jobs, that ain't going to work at all. You know what I mean? And you just got to find a time and be flexible with the time. But what you don't want to do is you don't ever want to lose the non-negotiable of I have to be in the Word. Like during this season, I might only be in it 5 minutes a day, but I'm in it. During this season, I might be in it 30 minutes a day or an hour a day, but I'm in it. Right? This season, it might be in the morning. This season might be in the evening. Those are the variables that are okay. The one variable that cannot change is whether or not you're in the Word. You got to be in it.
Yeah.
So if you find yourself right now extremely convicted because you are like most Christians, by the way, most Christians do not read the Bible. They don't. They're around it. They're familiar with it. They see some verses on memes and things on Facebook or whatever, and they listen to podcasts and they hear the verses with church and that kind of stuff. Like, you know what I mean? Like they wear T-shirts with it on there, but they're not reading the Word on there. Most Christians are not reading the Bible. And that's sad, but most of them are not.
Yeah.
So if you find yourself really convicted right now because you're not reading the Word, here's what you do. Just read it. Anytime, any amount, anything, just start and make the non-negotiable. I'm going to open my Bible today. I'm going to open the Bible app on my phone. I'm going to do something. I'm going to read some scripture, right? I'm going to read it. Just start there. And then let that be your now your non-negotiable. I have to be in the Word every single day in some way, shape, or form. And I'm not going to let that go. The time might change. The amount of time might change. What I read might change. But the fact that I'm in it is not going to change. It's that crucial to you following Jesus and growing in your faith. For the love of God, here's the plea again. Read your Bible yourself. Right? Yourself. Read the Bible yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You've been quiet.
I'm just soaking it in. Well, I'm glad we talked about this. I think it's kind of a
no-brainer. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like when you sit down and you go, all right, we're going to do a podcast on the fact that you should read your Bible. It's kind of like, that's kind of a no-brainer, isn't it?
Yeah. Why would we waste time? I'm over here like, it's important. It's like, yeah it is important.
but it really is. And I don't think we talk about enough the fact that we need to consistently impress upon ourselves and as leaders impress upon people that you need to be in the Word. Right?
No, yeah.
We need to consistently bring it back to that because it's really easy to not be in the Word.
Yeah, it's so easy.
It's super easy. And it's super easy for you to justify it. That's what I was saying at the beginning of the episode. It's so easy to justify it. Well, I was around this. I was around this. I was at church yesterday. Preacher preached all the way through. Like Sunday, today, is today Monday?
Monday, yeah.
Today's Monday. Yesterday was a Sunday for us. And I guess for everybody. But anyway. And we read through the majority of Acts chapter 1. Mm-hmm. So it's really easy to go, well, I just read on the screens yesterday, Acts chapter 1 at church. You know what I mean? It's so easy to justify the fact that you're in the Bible.
Yeah.
And when you're really not. And it's crucial. It is absolutely crucial to your faith in Jesus. Foundational spiritual discipline, reading the word. Foundational spiritual discipline, praying, right?
Yeah.
Foundational spiritual discipline, serve the world, serve in the church, right? Mm-hmm. Those are foundational spiritual disciplines that must happen, right? Be a good steward, right?
Yeah.
These are the foundational steps. And if you're not taking any of those key steps, there's a big hole in your spiritual growth. You ain't going to grow very much at all, if any, if you aren't in the Word. You might be taking steps backwards. You don't even realize it. It's really, really important. I can't stress enough. And I probably should stop because I keep talking about it. We're already way up there. The little thingy's coming this way.
He's talking about the bar.
Yeah, there's a little our recording thing is on a television that's in between us. And the bar, as the longer we talk, it's getting closer and closer and closer to me. And it's real close to me right now. So I probably should be quiet. So.
No. I appreciated it. I thought it was a good reminder because I actually need to get in the Word tonight. So,
well, I'll tell you my struggle. My struggle is being in the Word on Saturdays. Mm-hmm. And my struggle is being in the Word on Sundays that is not the Word that I'm preaching. That's my struggle.
Yeah.
My Monday through Friday routine for the last several years has been extremely solid.
Yeah.
I got it, right? But my Saturday-Sunday routine is off. And I don't want to say, I don't want to do what I've done in the past. What I've done in the past is justified that.
Yeah.
And said, well, it's no big deal. I was in the Word for 5 days and Saturday is my Sabbath, right? But never in the Bible is Sabbath equated to not reading the scriptures, right? And so,
in fact, you probably should on that day.
Hand in hand. If you're resting in the Lord, you probably should be doing it. Anyway, and then what I would do is I would justify the fact, well, I'm teaching the Word all day on Sundays. So, you know, I don't need to be in it separately. I'm trying not to use those excuses. That's where I'm struggling right now.
Yeah.
You know, that's my struggle. My current, my struggle.
He said struggle.
My current struggle. That's mine right now as far as being in the Word every day.
Yeah. Mine can be sometimes I'll get so busy and I'm trying to get where I'm going because I'll run late sometimes. And I'll make time during work, but like for today, for example, I was like, I could have been in the Word, but I knew I was going to be prepping for my small group. And then I was like, oh, I'll just read tonight. But I ain't going to lie. I felt it today. I was like, I should have gotten the Word earlier. So that's why I'm soaking in this podcast. I'm like, yeah, I better read my Bible.
And it doesn't have to be 4 hours of in-depth study.
No, it doesn't.
You know what I mean? Like,
but I felt it.
And I'll be real with you too. I do sometimes because of who I am and what I do. I do 4-hour in-depth study sometimes. Mm-hmm. So like today, for example, I'm not real good on Mondays, so I try not to stack meetings and things like that. I try not to do it. So today I was probably studying for about 4 or 5 hours today, right?
Yeah.
Now, I wasn't at my best because it's a Monday, so that 4 or 5 hours is probably more like 2 because mm-hmm. I would just zone out, right? But I do 4-hour and 5-hour in-depth studies. And then also there are a lot of times where I do 5-minute, pick it up, read, no thought, right? Just in the Bible. And it's just 5 minutes. Most of the time, those short, focused times are more impactful to me personally than the 4 or 5-hour in-depth studies.
Me too.
There's just something about them.
Which I don't think I've done a 4 to 5 hours, so I can't sit here and claim that, y'all.
But you know, you longer yeah. study, right? Longer study. The shorter ones tend to be more impactful to me anyway. Plus, I can typically retain what I have read in a 5-minute span more than I can retain what I read on a marathon for 3 hours.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Especially because you can meditate on that.
Yeah. So anyway, please read your Bible. So you don't be having the scruggles. I have to watch laughing because I'm going to cough. I'm still sick.
Oh, no.
Well, I don't know what it is. There's something in my nose. But
it's just the leftovers.
My nose is struggling. Every day I'm struggling.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, well, thank y'all for joining us. And I actually really enjoyed this. I think it's a great reminder.
Awesome.
Always read your Bible.
Always. Please read your Bible.
And I'm speaking to myself.
Me
read
too.
Read your Bible.
Me too. I just told you my struggle.
Yeah.
Saturdays and Sundays is mine. So thanks for being with us again today. And we'll be back soon.
Yeah.
With another Pastor Please. We got several more to do. I don't know how many we got to do left. 3 or 4, right?
Yeah.
Something like that.
I think about 5.
5. A lot.
Yeah.
We got a lot. More of this coming.
Yes. Well, we'll see y'all next time.
All right. Tell you later.
Bye.
Thank you for joining us on the Messy Walk Podcast with Pastor Adam Cook. Make sure to follow us for future episodes that will be posted regularly each Wednesday. Have a good day.